a concession. 7 years ago, physicists Stephen Hawking and Kip Thorne together struck a bet with fellow physicist John Preskill. Black holes, Hawking and Thorne said, swallow up matter that can never be retrieved. Not so, argued Preskill. It would violate the fundamental laws of physics if information was lost as the universe evolved. Well, last week, Hawking conceded the bet. He says he has new calculations that show that the surface of black holes, on the surface, they actually allow information to leak out, so they're not lost forever. Joining me now to talk about it is Dr. Lawrence Krauss, theoretical physicist and chairman of the physics department at Case Western Reserve University. Thanks for being with us again, Dr. Krauss. Welcome to the program.
It's always nice to be back.
Could you set up the scene for us? What was the atmosphere of this bet? Why did it happen? What was going on?
Well, it happened because, in fact, Stephen Hawking had become famous by making a remarkable discovery in 1972, namely that black holes aren't black. Black holes clearly are objects that were into which everything falls and nothing comes out because mm-hmm. the gravitational field is so great, classically. But Hawking discovered that when you consider the laws of quantum mechanics, the strange laws of quantum mechanics, it's not so simple. In fact, black holes can radiate radiation, which has since become called Hawking radiation, and in the process, they could actually evaporate and disappear. A truly remarkable result. We've never actually seen it, but theoretically, mm-hmm. it looks like it would happen. The problem is, and Hawking, among others, eventually realized this problem, is that if a black hole radiated and disappeared, and all that was left was thermal radiation, it would indeed violate one of the fundamental laws of quantum mechanics, that if you start with what's called a pure quantum mechanical state, which you may talk about later in the program, a pure quantum mechanical state that you set up and you let it fall into a black hole, the laws of quantum mechanics say that in the end, that all the quantum mechanical information associated with that state should not disappear. And if the black hole itself disappeared and all that was left was thermal radiation, indeed all that quantum mechanical information would be lost. And it appeared to suggest that general relativity and quantum mechanics were incompatible. And of course, that was very important. It's one of the many reasons why physicists over the last 20, 30 years or so have begun to try and think of ways of extending general relativity. It was one of the motivations of string theory and other ideas. So it's been a profoundly important puzzle and paradox, and many people thought it might be the key to moving beyond general relativity to something new. Of course, at the same time, I think it was somewhat of a sucker bet because most people, while they didn't, no one had an idea of how the information would get out of black holes, I think most physicists felt that quantum mechanics was on such firm ground that it was unlikely that that black holes would somehow demonstrate that it was wrong at some fundamental level. And so I certainly would have taken the bet.
Yeah.
But the big puzzle and the big issue, and many, many, many physicists have been working over the last decade, has been to try and figure out exactly how that information got out of black holes. And in fact, I and others have worked on that, and it's been a recurring problem because what's very nice about this, after all, is that it's a physical situation. A lot of stuff related to general relativity and quantum mechanics is very, very mathematical. But here's a physical system that hopefully would give us some guidance, even if it's only, as Einstein would have said, a Gedanken experiment, the kind of thing you can do in your head. But it was something physical that might have given us a handle to understand the weird and wonderful relationship between gravity and quantum mechanics.
Did Hawking make some discovery over the years that forced him to concede the bet, or did he just say, I can't prove it?
Of course, I have not yet read any new paper by Stephen, but I've pieced together the information I have from colleagues who've listened to him talk at a variety of meetings recently. And it looks like Stephen has done a new calculation that I have to say is still, the jury's still out on this. I don't think people have yet conceded that it's an accurate calculation because it's notoriously difficult to do these kind of calculations. But that suggests that when you really consider quantum mechanics, with a black hole, the thing that hides everything inside of it is called an event horizon. If you fall inside the event horizon, classically, you can't get out. And if you're outside of the event horizon, you really can't see what's fallen in.
Yeah.
But quantum mechanics says that things aren't so simple, that objects, elementary particles, and even small black holes can actually behave in many as if they're in many different states at the same time. And it's possible that if you're quite close to what's called the event horizon, briefly and for a little while, the black hole might behave as if it didn't have an event horizon, and then it might suddenly appear as if it did. And you have to consider all such configurations when you're trying to understand the radiation that comes out. Now, if for a little while the black hole behaves as if, quantum mechanically, as if it doesn't have an event horizon, then information can leak out, and that's my understanding of what Stephen has recently inferred from his calculations. Now, as I say, the jury's still out. We don't know. It's been enough to convince Stephen that that information indeed is preserved. And there are many aspects of this that I particularly like. One is that it doesn't involve string theory. It's yet another thing that string theory hasn't done for us. And if Stephen's solution to the black hole information loss paradox just involves standard quantum mechanics and general relativity, it would be a truly remarkable result, because I think no one, including myself, suspected that the resolution of this problem might be that simple.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you one more question, because I know this one is going to be close to your heart. It's sort of a Star Trek question. Reportedly, Hawking apologized to science fiction fans, saying that, quote, if information is preserved there, there is no possibility of using black holes to travel to other universes. What does that do to the physics of Star Trek?
Well, indeed, what's been great about black holes is that they're so mysterious that you could imagine that many, many exciting things might happen inside them. I have to say that even if information was lost, it's never been quite clear that you could travel to other universes. Well, your atoms might be able to, but in order to do it, you'd have to go through what's called the singularity at the center of a black hole, where everything becomes so dense that eventually your body would be torn apart like spaghetti.
I hate it when that happens. Yeah,
it's awful, and it certainly doesn't make for a good science fiction story. So we don't know. We didn't know. And on the other hand, for those science fiction fans, one would have to say that at present, we don't know if Hawking's new result is correct, so there's still hope.
Thank you, Lawrence, for taking time to talk with us. And is everybody going to get a baseball encyclopedia like he did? Or?
I know that you're a big baseball fan, Ira, and certainly it was a great a great prize. And next time you and I will have to make a bet with Stephen to get another encyclopedia.
Well, good luck to those Indians.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. Dr. Lawrence Krauss, who is the head of the Department of Physics at Case Western Reserve University, and a great Cleveland Indian fans.